Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. And we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. We worship at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. I know many of you can't join us because you listen from all different areas. But you can join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. Pacific time. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can worship, you can fellowship, you can chat, you can offer up prayers, you can pray for other people, you can connect. I want you to know that you're not alone. If you miss all those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship. You can watch our weekly children's messages for your children. You can watch our weekly sermons. You can watch our weekly worship services. It's our prayer that you'll come to know God's love, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit sowing seeds of faith. Know, grow, go, sow. Those are action words, and that's our prayer. I think Jesus' mission statement would be something like this: follow me, watch what I do what I do. I think, you know, this is just my idea. Jesus would say, follow me, watch what I do, now do what I do. Today we're going to look at the call of four of the disciples in the opening chapter of John, the Gospel of John. We will see how the lives of Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathaniel, how their lives were forever changed and transformed. Listen to the good news. God does not leave us to search and search until we come to Him. God comes out to meet us. Excuse me. St. Augustine once said, we could not even have begun to seek for God unless He had already found us. When we go to God, we do not go to one who hides Himself and keeps us at a distance, but we go to the one who stands waiting for us and who even takes the initiative by coming to meet us on the road. Let us turn to God's Word. But before we do, let's turn to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, You have called each one of us by name. You knew us before we were born. Your Word teaches us that all the days of our lives were written in Your book. We come again today not because we are worthy, but because You are worthy. We come to hear the soft sound of the sandaled feet of the Messiah calling to us, come, follow me. Amen. If you have a Bible, we're in John chapter 1, 35 to 44. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have a couple in the church that bought cases of the one-year Bible, and they also put together a reference book. If you need a one-year Bible or a reference book, email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship, and I'll mail you a Bible and a reference book. Here in John chapter 1, 35 to 44 is our reading today. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he, John, saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and said, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought Simon Peter, or he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked Jesus. "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending like the Son of Man." My first section, I thought about those questions. What do you want? What do you want? I love this opening chapter of John. It has many wonderful statements. I love the little questions that Jesus asked, like, "What do you want?" And I don't know the tone of voice. I don't know how he said it. I know he said it because it's recorded. What do you want? I believe that Jesus' question, "What do you want?" is profound and deeply, it's a deeply moving question. I think it's a question we should ask ourselves every day. Did the disciples really know what they wanted? Maybe I should ask, do you know what you really want? If we met Jesus and he asked us to follow, would we know what we wanted? Would we know Jesus? A pastor friend in Texas sent me an old quote from Mark Twain. Twain said, quote, "I can teach anybody what they want to get out of life. The problem is that I cannot find anybody who can still tell me what they want." So what do you want? The Greek word for "do you want" is zeteo, zeteo. And of course, it's a present active verb. In the present active verb tense, it means that the action is continuous. It's ongoing. It never stops. In Greek, it can mean, what are you deliberating about? What are you demanding? What are you looking for? What are you searching for? What are you seeking after? What are you striving for? What are you looking for and wanting? And it isn't a one-timer question. Jesus is asking this question again and again and again and again. Remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so that question that he asked Andrew and Peter, the same question he asked you. What do you want? Do you want success? Do you want security? Do you want financial wealth? Do you want health? Do you want peace? What do you want? That's the question. Donnie Lee wrote a song called "Looking for Love." Here is the choruses. "I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of, hoping to find a friend and a lover. I'll bless the day I discover another heart looking for love." Can you answer that question? What are you looking for love? What are you looking for? Gypsy Smith was an evangelist preacher who first served with the Salvation Army and then as an evangelist preacher. Gypsy Smith was an uneducated young boy who grew up, well, as a gypsy in the middle of the 1800s in England. One night at a revival meeting, Gypsy Smith pointed a boy to the Lord Jesus who died on a cross in his place and in his stead. After a while, the lad said, "I think I see it. First you bring yourself to Jesus, then you leave yourself with Jesus and keep going on." "Yes, that's it," said Gypsy Smith, and the lad went away rejoicing in his newfound Savior. The next night, the evangelist found him in the inquiry room again, his eyes shining like stars. "Why, Sonny," Gypsy said, "I thought you received Jesus as your Savior last night." "So I did," was the bright reply. "Then why are you here again tonight?" "I came to bring my mother." The next night, the same boy was in the inquiry room once more. What brings you here tonight, Sonny? Inquired Gypsy. Oh, I came tonight to bring my grandfather, was the reply. Three generations were won because a little boy who found the Savior became a personal worker in his own home. One can never tell what God might do with a gospel witness. Many years ago in St. Louis, a Christian man was completing a business deal with his lawyer. Before leaving the office, the Christian man turned to the lawyer and said, I have often wanted to ask you a question, but I have been a coward. The lawyer was surprised. I didn't think you were afraid of anything. What is the question? His client replied, Why aren't you a Christian? The lawyer hung his head. You know my weakness, he said. Isn't there something in the Bible about drunkards having no part of the kingdom of God? Not to be detoured, the Christian said, That's not what I'm asking. I want to know, why aren't you a Christian? Well, said the lawyer, I can't recall that anybody asked me, and I'm sure nobody ever told me how to become a Christian. Before long, the two men were praying together, and God moved into the lawyer's life. He saved him and immediately broke the power of drinking and that had bound him for years. The lawyer's name was Cyrus L. Schofield, who later edited the famous Schofield Reference Bible, the most widely used study Bible in the world. Imagine that. From time to time, we hear statistics about how people first enter into church membership. The figures trace back to the Institute of American Church Growth. When asked 10,000 people about their pilgrimage, what led them into church membership, the answers would surprise you. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. Our prayer team here at The Seed is a powerful, powerful prayer team. They would love to pray for you. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, write your prayer. If you want a response, there's a place to mark it. We'll pray for you. If you can't do that, just go to my email at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship. I'll get your prayer concern out and I'll have people praying. 10,000 people were asked to trace back their, well, kind of their lineage of how they became a Christian. And here's some of the figures. 2% said they had a special need. 3% said they walked in. 6% said, well, pastor led them. 1% said it was a visitation. 5% said it was a Sunday school. Excuse me. 5% said evangelistic crusade. And 3% said it was a special program. You know the highest number? 79% said a friend or a relative led them to Christ. Let me say that again. Let me say it slowly. Let me think about our response. 79%. 79% said a friend or a relative. What do you know about Andrew? We know that Andrew was an early follower of John the Baptist. To be a follower of John the Baptist took a lot of courage. John the Baptist lived in the wilderness, ate locust and honey, and wore camel's hair for tunics. John the Baptist preached a message of repentance, calling the people of Israel to turn away from their sins and turn their hearts back to God. To say the least, John the Baptist's message was not popular with the religious establishment of the day. Here we find Andrew following and hanging out with, well, a wild man who was cut from a different cloth, camel's hair for a fact. Andrew was on the seashore that very day that Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist. Andrew was right there. And he heard John cry out, Look, the Lamb of God, when Jesus was passing by. This week, when I was working on my Greek in this passage, I found the verbs in John 1:36 fascinating. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, Look, the Lamb of God. The verb used for passing by is peripateo, or peripateia. It is a present active participle, which means that the action of Jesus is, what the action of Jesus is doing is a continuous action. Jesus is continually passing by. Jesus is passing by. He is ongoing and never ending. It's yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, friends, that is a comforting note for us. Stay with me, because the verb used for John the Baptist's proclamation, he said, is also a present active verb. It means that Jesus is the Lamb of God, is proclaimed over and over and over and over, never ending. Jesus is passing by as the Lamb of God over and over and over again, not just 2,000 years ago, but this very day. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is still passing by. This is some really exciting stuff. I might have to take a Tylenol and lay down. Once, while testing the acoustics in an agricultural hall in London, the famous preacher Charles Spurgeon rang out with practicing in the empty room, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." A workman up in the ceiling heard the message, was convicted, went home, knelt before the Lord, and found salvation. Excuse me. We never know how or when or where Jesus, the Lamb of God, will go passing by, do we? Andrew is known for being one of the very first disciples. We are told that Andrew and the other disciples with him immediately turned and followed Jesus. The scholars believe that the other disciple is none other than John, the writer of this gospel we are studying. Andrew and the other disciple asked Jesus where he is staying. And Jesus says, "Come." "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John the Baptist had said and who had followed Jesus. Andrew was one of the first disciples of Jesus. Andrew could have stopped right there and kept Jesus to himself. But no, that is not what he does. We are told in verse 41 and 42 what Andrew did. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he, Andrew, brought him, Peter, to Jesus. So what? What is the first thing you do when you find something really important? Who is the first person you go and tell? According to Church Research Survey, did you hear how many people came to Christ through a friend or a relative? 79%, almost 80%. 80% of the people who come to Christ come through a friend or a relative. That really is exciting. Andrew was the very first person who went and found his brother and shared the good news of the Messiah. Stop and think about that for a minute. Andrew knew his brother. Andrew knew that his brother Peter was loud, boisterous, and, well, a bit obnoxious. Andrew also knew that his brother Peter was a better and more popular leader than he was. Andrew didn't stop to think about the possibility of playing second fiddle to his brother. He went and he found his brother. "We, John and I, have found the Messiah," he said. The second time we see Andrew's name mentioned in the gospel is in chapter 6, the story of the feeding of the 5,000. The multitudes are now following Jesus, and we're told that over 5,000 have followed Jesus. They have seen Jesus heal the sick and cast out demons. Now they'll see another miracle. Jesus tells Philip to go buy bread for the thousands of people. Philip says that they only have, 8 months' wages, and that's not enough, anywhere near enough to feed those people. Quick thinking, Andrew comes to the rescue. In John chapter 6, 8 through 9, this is what he said. Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish. How far will that go among many?" Andrew brings the little boy with his lunch to Jesus. The little boy has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Maybe Andrew is not quite sure how this little boy's lunch will help, yet he is faithful in bringing the boy to Jesus. You see where Jesus is the extra and the little boy is the ordinary? The little boy's lunch feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. Andrew is a man on mission. First, he brings his brother to Jesus. Then he brings a little boy with his lunch to Jesus. The next time Andrew is mentioned is in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John. The disciples and Jesus had entered Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus is about to be betrayed, crucified, dead, and buried. And we're told that some Greeks come to Philip to ask if they could see Jesus. Philip doesn't bring the Greeks to Jesus. Nope. Philip goes and gets Andrew. What does Andrew do? Andrew brings the group of Greeks to Jesus. The Bible does not record what happened to Andrew after the resurrection and the Pentecost. Tradition says that Andrew took the gospel north. Eusebius, an ancient Greek historian, records that Andrew went as far as Scythia, which is in modern Russia. You know that Andrew is the patron saint of Russia? Andrew was crucified in Achaia, southern Greece, near Athens. One account records that Andrew led the wife of the Roman governor to Christ, which made the governor furious. The governor demanded that his wife recant, and she refused. As a result, the governor had Andrew crucified. The governor's orders were for Andrew to be tied, not nailed, to the cross to prolong his suffering and death. Andrew was lashed to a saltire, the X-shaped cross. From most accounts recorded, he hung on a cross for 2 days. Tradition also records that during those 2 days, Andrew exhorted those passing by to turn to Christ for salvation. So what? How many of you have heard of Edward Kimball? Edward was a timid, soft-spoken Sunday school teacher. Kimball's impact on the world is greatly known, is not really greatly known, but or his name really known. Kimball went to a shoe store in Boston one day to share the gospel with an uneducated, crude, illiterate young clerk by the name of D.L. Moody. Moody had begun to attend Kimball's Sunday school class. Kimball found Moody in the shoe room stocking shoes and shared with Moody about having a relationship with Jesus. Quote, "I never could remember just what I did say. Something about Christ and his love, that is all," Kimball admitted. It was a weak appeal. D.L. Moody was used mightily by the Lord in the last half of the 19th century on both sides of the Atlantic. Moody was an evangelist who started Moody Bible School. Moody is credited with speaking to over 100 million people. Moody influenced many for Christ, including a guy by the name of C.T. Studd, who was a great pioneer missionary, and Wilbur Chapman, who became a famous evangelist. From an uneducated shoe salesman came D.L. Moody in a Bible Institute that today produces at least 1 out of 10 Protestant pastors. Where would we be without the Andrews of the world? The Andrews are the first to hear and the first to go and tell. What did the first Andrew do? He saw the Lamb of God and he went and told his brother, Peter, the one who Jesus said he would build his church upon. I think every pastor, including me, would be overjoyed to see a server church filled with Andrews. Andrew was a man on a mission. His mission was to go and tell others one-on-one that he had found the Messiah. Andrew helped to transform the world. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to go out from here this week listening to this message and share the message with one person that you found the Messiah. Just think what would happen. Just think what would happen in their lives and in their homes. Just think of what would happen in their workplaces. Just think of what would happen in their church and their community. So what? We have work to do. Let us pray. Father God, Brother Jesus, Counselor, Holy Spirit, we do have work to do. Please place the name of someone who needs to know your love upon our heart. Help us to be like Andrew this week. Help us to have the courage to tell our family, our coworkers, our friends of the wonderful peace we found in Jesus the Messiah. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and love and serve the Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. See you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.